Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to start it off here,
Mitch? Yeah, let's go to analysis of last night's Democratic debate, the first of two in Detroit. Wes Renfro is Associate Dean of College of Arts and Sciences and Associate Professor of Poli-Sci at Quinnipiac. And Wes, I from reading the reports, it depends which news organization you look at as to who did better in the debate. Some say Elizabeth Warren, some say Bernie Sanders, some said nobody. What did you think?
Well, I think both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren had a good night. You know, they both had a chance to speak a lot, and I think they benefited from the fact that Joe Biden wasn't there to suck the oxygen out of the room.
How would he do that? How would he do that, Doctor?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of attention on the front runners.
Sure.
And even though everybody's supposed to have an equal, you know, slice of the pie, when you look at the number of words that they each speak, the people who are ahead in the polls tend to get more speaking time. The moderators give them more attention. And without Joe Biden there, I think they were able to capitalize. And I've seen some analysis that suggests that, you know, folks like Elizabeth Warren spoke about twice as much as folks like Marianne Williamson. So they got more attention.
Talk, Wes, tell us about John Delaney, who I was reading in one thing said had a pretty good day or night.
Yeah, you know, for somebody who doesn't have a lot of name recognition
and
is pretty unlikely to end up as the nominee, he came out swinging. He was able to insert himself in the key debates. He was also able to draw some stark contrast between not only some of the folks who are more progressive, but between some of the folks who are a little bit more moderate. So I agree. I think he had a pretty good night.
Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, you go.
What about this mayor from South Bend, Mayor Buttigieg?
You know, he's an interesting person.
Yes.
He has, I think, a compelling story in a lot of ways. He checks a lot of boxes that are important to Democrats. He's done a heck of a job with fundraising. I thought that his performance last night was frankly, a little bit underwhelming. I think that he could have spoken more and been a little bit more exciting. But all in all, I think sort of a middling performance, not great, but not terrible.
One of the things that a lot of people like about him, though, is that he tends, I don't think he wants to be moderate, because I don't think he's proposing necessarily moderate things. But, I mean, the fact is, he seems to make sense. I mean, I was watching part of it. I was impressed with him. I really was. Maybe I was wrong, but, you know, he seems to be a very level-headed guy.
Yeah, you know, I think that he's trying to be the sort of adult in the room.
Yes, thank you.
He's very articulate. He says things, I think, that appeal to a wide swath of people, not only Democrats, but maybe general election voters.
Exactly.
I just don't think that tonight was his best performance. I've seen him do better in other venues.
We're talking with Professor Wes Renfro from Quinnipiac University about the first of two Democratic debates in Detroit. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker among the 10 who will be on stage tonight. One, I'm looking at the CNN analysis of it, and it says Beto O'Rourke didn't do himself any favors.
You know, I don't think that Beto O'Rourke is a very strong or serious candidate. You know, part of the reason that he did so well in 2018 in Texas is that people really dislike Ted Cruz, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was easy for him to come close-ish to beating Ted Cruz. And so I think, you know, a lot of the hype about him was frankly just that hype.
Yeah, he got a Vanity Fair cover in what, after the run, right? That was it. I mean, he was going to be the guy. And then he's on his pilgrimage, you know, 40 days in the wilderness to find himself. I mean, you know, a lot of us can't afford to do that, you know, but then again.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, part of the reason why Beto isn't doing as well is that Mayor Pete has come out of nowhere. And frankly, they're both appealing to the same crowd.
Yeah.
And Mayor Pete seems to be doing a better job of it.
You know, go ahead, Rick. No.
Well, I just wanted to ask you one question. Is the fact is the tone of this one, there was definitely a bifurcation. You had, you know, definitely Warren and Sanders. I mean, they were at it. They were loud, decibel count high, all that stuff. Some of the others were more moderate. But is that what it takes to stand out? I mean, you've got to, like, basically make an impression.
You know, it's complicated. I think that Bernie always shouts because that's who
that's
he
what
is.
He does. Yeah.
Right. Well, he's older. He has to be able to hear himself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I think some of that's true. You know, Elizabeth Warren, I think, is in kind of a rock and a hard place. You know, I think it's indisputable that there's a lot of voters who are less likely to vote for women, in particular women of a particular age.
Yeah.
And so I think that she is really trying to appear energetic in lots of contexts because
Definitely.
She's trying to fight against those headwinds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that helps explain some of her performance.
It seems like there's three tiers in this race. It seems like there's the Biden, Warren, Sanders tier. Then it seems like you have people like Harris, maybe Buttigieg, maybe one or two others. And then you've got like 14 people who've got no shot at winning and are just there to try to help themselves with name recognition in their state race. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the good folks at 538 have talked a lot about the number of tiers or layers. And I think that you basically have it spot on. There's the sort of front of the pack, the folks who might end up in the front of the pack that are plausible nominees, and then everybody else. And I think, you know, we would probably have better, more substantive debates if we got rid of the folks who are very unlikely to end up as a nominee.
It's going to happen. I'm still crossing my fingers for Marianne Williamson because I think she's the most interesting, but she was good.
She had a good night last
night. She did. That's exactly
what
I
was saying. I don't know her. What is her background?
So she's an author. She's written tons of best-selling self-help books.
Yeah.
She's sometimes described as a self-help guru or a spiritualist. But, you know, there's been some preliminary analyses about the most searched candidates, and she's pretty high up on that list. So I think she did have a good night. She's got not a good chance to become the nominee, but she did okay.
And it was kind of nice. I mean, it was a different tone. She got a little fired up once in a while. So out of tonight, you know, after tonight, I mean, basically there are going to be people who are going to run out of money, are there not?
I think so.
So it'll be a smaller field next time around.
Yeah, you know, I think by the fall we're going to see a winnowing of the field. I think we'll probably be under 10 by Halloween.
Oh my God.
And by Christmas, it's going to be down to 4 or 5.
All right, so let's do our own handicapping here. We know Biden, Warren, Sanders, and I would say Harris are in for the long haul.
Final four.
What about Cory Booker?
I think Cory Booker might stick it out. He's got some name recognition. He's okay at raising money. I also think Mayor Pete is probably going to hang in there for a while because he's really been a juggernaut in terms of fundraising.
What about somebody like Kristen Gillibrand?
You know, Kristen Gillibrand has just chronically underperformed, and I don't know how long she can stick it out.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question about this. And, you know, the thing is, here we are. I mean, we're looking at the first, the Iowa caucus coming up, about 6 months, something like that. Has it been this way this far out? I mean, my God, I can't believe the number of people, and people are already into it.
Well, you know, I think we live in an unusual time, and I think the real theme of the entire debate and also the campaign is ABT, anybody but Trump.
There you go.
We generally, as a country, tend to elect our incumbent presidents to a second term. I think this time, more so than in other instances in the near past, there's a real shot to make a one-termer. And folks dislike Trump, and so I think there's a lot of energy all across the Democratic primary this time around. So it's a little different.
All right.
Professor Wes Renfro from Quinnipiac University. Great analysis. Wes, we'll have you back again. Thank you.
Just come back.
Thank you.
Okay, good talking to you. 728 WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.